In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I wish you a very blessed Ascension Thursday. I remember when we were first in Sharonville, some of you remember those years in the early 1980s, I learned of the existence of what is today a Protestant or Protestant Patriotic Feast Day. That is to say, it is their national day of prayer. I don't know if they still do it, but back then they used to have some kind of a local pastor in Sharonville invited to City Hall to lead a prayer before their session. And I thought to myself, in my naivete way back when, before I realized what a tight Protestant ecumenical Masonic connection reigns in Sharonville, Ohio, I thought to myself, well, if they ever asked me to come to their National Day of Prayer, because City Hall is right down the street from where our old church was, why, I would say, well, you see, at our church, every day is a day of prayer. And that is true, especially these wonderful days of prayer, the Rogation processions, and now opening today our daily May devotions. Why don't we make at least these next few days, the 1st of May, sweet with prayer? It might be a little bit of a temptation because of some of you having come from a distance to not come to Mass on First Friday. It's just tomorrow or First Saturday because you've got to come again on Sunday. But do divide yourselves up. Some of you come for First Friday, and some of you come to First Saturday to make your communions of reparation, and some others of you perhaps will come to watch during the night between the two. And then, should it be God's holy will, we will all meet again on Sunday morning again for the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Remember, Sunday is our May crowning day this year. Every day should be, for a Catholic, a day of prayer. Why stand you looking up to heaven? The angels ask the apostles at the Assumption. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. There is always, I think, a tinge of sadness about this holy day. Not, I hope, because you had to get up and go to church, or endure a long church service this morning, or the necessary shuffling of schedules that a holy day entails for many Catholics. But it is in our Catholic mind, our mentality, our memory, a day with a bit of sadness. Our Lord took his apostles to Mount Olivet, and from that point he left them going up to heaven. But as they walked through the Garden of Olives at the base of this mountain, how could they not have remembered all that our Lord suffered and how they slept? Or when they got to the top of this little mountain, they could see Jerusalem the golden, the dome of the temple, and all of the events of Holy Week which took place in that city. There was a tinge of sadness, a certain nostalgia or remembrance of the bitter passion of our Savior and of their sins. But Ascension Thursday, if it offers sadness, it is most of all the sadness of separation, such as all of us must know in our life. The Sacred Heart of Jesus, which is a human heart as well as a divine one, ached at the thought of saying goodbye to his mother today, and of leaving his apostles, who still had so much to learn, behind. It was a day of sadness for its separation, and Our Lady and the apostles surely felt a bit, at least, that same way. And so it is for us today, I think. If you think about the Ascension, as I hope you will, it is a day of sadness. We remember that our Lord is gone, the absence of Christ. He's gone from so many tabernacles and altars. He has gone for what passes for the priesthood today. He is gone from the See of Peter. And there are so few masses. And the magisterium, the church's teaching authority, teaches still, but is silent, in a very silent way. And who listens? What a consolation, though, is given to us. The sadder we are, the more we look for some comfort. Jesus gave us Mary to be our mother twice. And her rosary must do for the Mass for so many poor individuals who have no access to Holy Mass or sacraments, perhaps not at all. There's a sense of sadness about the Ascension. If you think about it quietly, if you pray over it, what are you doing? I've caught you. You're meditating. Now don't tell me you can't meditate on the mysteries of the rosary, or even make what they call mental prayer, such as Our Lady asks 15 minutes of on the first Saturday of each month. This year, this month, May, Mary's month, opens on the day on which our Lord opened the gates of heaven, having by his precious blood, St. Paul says, obtained for us eternal redemption. Now he opens up those gates of heaven which clanged shut with the sin of our first parents, Adam and Eve. Ask yourself, how better to open up the gates of heaven for yourself and for so many souls for whom you are bound to pray? How better to open up heaven's gates than by meditating on some of the mysteries of the rosary? Is the second glorious mystery a mystery just of sadness or sorrow? St. Leo the Great says, oh no, not at all. The apostles loved our Lord so much that they were filled with joy in spite of their grief to see him glorified. This is the greatest feast day of Jesus Christ, the ascension into heaven. And it is a day, too, of hope for us because, this made the apostles rejoice as well, our human nature now goes to heaven because we are the adopted children of God. There's a great consolation in all of this. Remember that the early Christians, when they realized the world was not coming to an end, but when they saw their world coming to an end with constant persecutions, the great consolation in copying out the shortest of the four Gospels, St. Mark's Gospel, which St. Mark wrote under St. Peter's direction in Rome, and they would carry it with them. It was called the Martyr's Book. That's what the rosary should be for all of us. We can carry the Gospel with us when we have a rosary in the pocket or the purse. 150 years ago, in February of this year, 150 years ago at Lourdes in France, Mary Immaculate came down from heaven holding in her hands a shining white rosary because she wanted to help us as the modern ages were starting to get home back again to heaven. Remember, the first thing she did was to show Bernadette how to pray the rosary properly, and then the next thing was to pray it with her. How to pray the rosary properly. You have to meditate upon the mysteries. But as I've just demonstrated, that's fairly easy to do. All you need to do is to catch a thought. Think of some theme, one word even would do, or some petition, and look for it as you say your 10 Hail Marys after the Our Father. We saw how that works for sorrow. Remember how that works as well now for joy and for glory. We're always interested in ourselves. Another good way to pray a decade is to think about this mystery in relationship to ourselves. How do you feel about Christ going up or coming down from heaven? Would your thoughts be more the dies irae, day of wrath and gloom, or a gloria in excelsis? And if so, why? Or you may pray for the virtue of hope. We need that today. Or for the reward of heaven. In the first sorrowful mystery, our Lord said that we should pray, but we should also watch. Watch and pray. Why? That ye enter not into temptation. This past Sunday, we saw that the very best way for parents to be watchful over their children is to ask questions. Now, you must be watchful, first of all, over your own soul. And all of us, when it comes to the spiritual life, are just children, children of God the Father. We need to ask questions, children. And if you will ask some questions, you too will be doing a very good rosary. Who? What in this mystery? Why? Why are they doing that? How was it done? With whom? Who else was there? What was it like? And then last of all, where? These questions, whereby you demonstrate your vigilance, mom and dad, over your children, at the same time help you to be vigilant over your prayer so you don't get distracted. But remember that when you pray the rosary, you can just go there. You can stand, be there, and watch respectfully and lovingly, which is a good thing to do if you can't think of anything else or if you're very tired in your head. You can be like the apostles. Just go there and look. So all they were doing, just looking up to heaven, gazing up there. And then a little prayer might come to you, and there you have it. You've done a good decade. Last of all, what about distractions? When it comes to distractions, remember, it's not a question of if, but of when. And then another question, what to do about them. This is a great mystery, the second glorious, I mean, for dealing with distractions. Because you could ask Jesus, maybe that's all you do the whole decade long, is to say, Jesus, please send me an angel or two. Angels are prayer experts. Send me an angel or two to help me to pray. You could do that. Or you could say, dear angel, help me as you help the apostles to be practical in my prayer, to offer up some good resolutions now. Or you could ask Mary, who was given to the apostles and thus to us, as their, our mother, on the Ascension, just as she was given at the fifth sorrowful mystery, the crucifixion. Or you could ask Mary, Mother, please, tell me what to do. Show me how to pray. As once you showed the apostles in the upper room, and you showed little Bernadette at Lourdes. The second glorious mystery, the Ascension. As Mass continues, take a moment, meditate a bit upon this mystery, and remember that regardless of how you say that prayer and make your meditation, we all of us will simply be looking up to heaven. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.